This is Christina Rizzo reading her story in three parts, The Merchant Gate Bus Stop, The Streets and Mask.
Part 1, The Merchant Gate Bus Stop on March 24. One glove impaled on the railing behind the bus stop bench. It sits there like a decapitated head, waiting for the 66. Its index raised under the railing nipple, as if to point up at something that's already left. I sit on the bench in front of it. A girl, oily hair pulled into a ponytail. She sits on the bench to my left, at the very far end of it. A student. I know because of the way she looks at her phone and taps her leg, and because she's wearing flower bands. Light blue hoodie and skinny jeans like I've seen many of in lecture halls, a first year. She looks my way as if to throw a bark or a snarl, as if to tell me to back off, to look at the other empty bench. She's too shy to do so, though. She looks at her phone again instead. This time she puts it to her ear. She has one of those phone cases that flip open, the ones with wallet slits for credit cards. Hiya. The leg speeds up as she listens to someone I can't see, someone I can't really hear either. I wonder if she's talking to a friend, maybe talking about where to go tonight. What's the plan? It's a Wednesday. Last year I'd be hungover on a Wednesday. I'd be thinking about the coming Friday. I wonder if she's thinking of Friday too, or still thinking about last night, except the clubs and the pubs have been closed for a while now. She probably hasn't queued for an hour out of Kakuta when it's cold, or smoked from her flatmate's cigarette while waiting, and not felt that tickle of heat you get when you don't smoke all the time, because she doesn't look like a smoker. I wonder whether she's had prees. She might have had drinks in the kitchen, she might have been unsure on how much vodka to pour the first few nights, but she's never gotten up from the flat, sticky kitchen table to feel it all in her legs, to feel the night grabbing onto her legs. Because so many things were going to happen. She's never sat tipsy on the 66. She's never stood up, chatting to Katie from chemistry, talking about first times while the bus sways and she tightens her hand around the seat handle. And walking in the club, she's never gotten her hand stamped right where people can see it in her 9 a.m. the next morning. She's never asked her flatmate if her hair was okay, for him to answer that it looks beautiful, and for him to kiss her on the head, and for her to feel it in her liver. She's never given her uni hoodie to the woman at the coat room, and thought about where to put her ticket so that she'd find it when drunk. She's never sat on the couches after buying the first drinks and started the first awkward conversations, filled with sounds of people sipping at straws. She's never run onto the dance floor, tripping on the steps on the way down, but acting as if it didn't happen. Because lights were flashing, and everything was moving anyways. She probably hasn't made out with a stranger, or Jim from Econ who her flatmate introduced her to, and who really turned out to be a dick. She's never made out with him until she felt sick. She's never borrowed her friend's lip gloss in the girl's bathroom, while her other friend shouts words from a song that's playing. She's never heard how different a song is from the bathroom of a club, how much deeper it sounds, and how the walls swallow it, and how the walls and the song get bigger. How the bathroom becomes another place that isn't inside or outside, that isn't hot or cold, and how the mirror becomes intimate, because three shots down you only really look at yourself and whether your hair really is all right. She's never forgotten about how she got back home. She's never not wanted to walk into the kitchen the morning after. Because she remembered crumbs of the night before, but not the whole slice. Because she only really remembered the bathroom, the kissing, and that other kiss on the head. Tonight, I'm going to call my friends and order Chinese to eat with them. I'm going to have a glass of white blossom hail that's been sitting in the fridge. Condensation on it, like sweat, it's going to be cold. Not cold like last year's vodka cokes and blue shits, though. The liquid cold that seeps through plastic cups that cut open easily. So many of them cut open on the dance floor. Not the cold that spreads from your palms to your nails if you don't down it quick enough. Not the one that stings your nose when you down it and the ice slides. not the cold on your wet tights when you knock your drink off the table, and the floor gets stickier, and the ice stays there like tired bodies. Not the cold that makes you realize you're very warm inside a club at approximately 1:30 a.m. And not the all-body cold when you leave the club, when you tug on your arms and look for extra skin with your fingers. When the floor is quiet again and not sticky at all, when the wind is so dull and dead of music and the night is over. Sometimes I feel that I'm so much older, that wine on the couch instead of spilled ice drinks is a different me, a melted me that these months have gnawed down to. I wonder if I'll ever spill a drink again sometimes, or whether if I do, it'll only matter if it's on a sticky floor that makes your platform shoes feel heavier, or only matter if I need to push myself over the counter until it touches my bladder to shout into the bartender's ear. Sometimes I ask myself if I should even drink if it isn't to walk it off later, holding a styrofoam box of cheesy chips and feeling my Vans dig into my ankle's neck. It's weird how cheesy chips have turned into Chinese, and how only my hands get cold now. Part 2. The Merchant Gate bus stop on April 12th. There is chatter this time. The glove is still there when I arrive. No one has claimed it. Sat on the railing, its index finger is bent. It's pointing forwards now at the street facing where things are happening and sounds clash. I can't hear one sound but voices kissing wheels, big and small, and hugging engine growls. Conversations I'm not part of. Conversations over yellow pints with red font. I imagine, of course. I sit on the bus stop bench again, where I think I sat last time. The other benches full of girls in straight sunglasses and their girlfriends. They're leaning towards each other, giggling, burping comments that bubble up like air. Something like soda fills their bodies and spills over, something electric, that makes the one with green pants shake her leg. Other girls walk by with bags, brown Zara bags and black Urban bags that I haven't seen in a long time. I think how weird it is that I haven't seen a shopping bag in a while. How weird it is that flimsy bags making paper sounds remind me of April 12th. Tired of watching people's pant legs and branded bags, I look up. Now a couple walks by. I can't pick up on any words they're saying. Maybe it's because I don't want to. Maybe it's because those words are theirs. I only hear a murmur from them, like a soft engine. Like a bicycle chain going fast, but not too fast. They make me think of you, of us two. Her hair is dyed green at the tips. Remember when I told you I wanted to dye my hair red? On a call, of course. And you grinned and you didn't talk me out of it. They've probably had a first day unlike us. One where they could touch each other and see each other's pants. A story they can tell their friends over yellow pints or at a drinking game. They probably went for dinner, because when you've already been friends for a year, you can't go for coffee. And he probably chose a French place with mirrors on the walls that made the place look twice as big. And she probably sat down and didn't take off her cardigan, even though she was hot, because she knew sweat marks would show through a green sweater. And he probably wore a turtleneck because she's told him she likes turtlenecks on a call once. And she probably asked for an English menu while he kept the French and asked him what a steak tartare meant. Is it really just raw? And she probably wanted to be brave in French and get it, but she got something else. And he probably told her he wanted to ask the waitress if they had this drink he had when he was little. It's this pink drink with grenadine. And at that point, she probably interrupted him. I used to have it in Brittany. My dad called it Diablo. And he probably smiled and asked the waitress for two of those. And while they waited, he probably told her about sailing because that's a subject they'd always come back to for some reason. And she probably listened all over again because she liked to look at the way his nose moved when he spoke and because she could finally see that nose in person. When the pink drinks and his pink meat and her burger came, she probably thought about whether she'd kiss him tonight, and how she would reach all the way up there. and probably how she'd better kiss him in the car, yes, where they'd both be sitting down and she could lean over easily, where pink would mix with pink. She probably didn't kiss him that night. He was probably still too tall, and the turtleneck made him look even taller, and there was probably so much space in the car she would have had to lean across, and it would have probably been awkward. And she probably felt silly for shaving that night, and so stupid and so fucking dumb as she opened the car door, dropping her phone on the parking lot pavement and shutting it fast behind her. She probably didn't touch him, but at least she'd seen his pants. I've only really seen the collar of your shirt, and I've only seen your nose on a screen. And I don't know what we'll tell our friends over yellow pints or at a drinking game. Another couple walks by. Maybe they aren't one. They aren't holding hands, but they're walking so close to one another that I'm sure they can feel it in their arm hairs. This one's more like us, isn't it? Part 3. The Merchant Gate Bus Stop on May 20. The glove's not here today. The railing nipples naked and cold as if the glove was never there. It waits for the sun. It will reach it in about an hour. I'm leaning on the wall of a Colenso property building, watching people pass by here like a phase. Quick couples, a family of four, shoving shoulders into jackets because it's chilly. One fast man in gray trips over the bench because he didn't see it, because he was looking on. They're walking by like the bus stop isn't there. All this plays in front of me to the sound of my friend Nikki's Cambridge podcast. I still want my own podcast, she said when she told us. I'll just do this in the meantime. And I think of her face as I hear her ums and imagine her moving her hand that way. I feel like I'm not supposed to hear her talk about Mental Health Week and interview the head of Christian Society. But I feel how good she is at it. I can see her notes in front of her and her finger moving along them like a teacher's pointing stick. Like she used to do choosing something from the drinks menu. She'd always get a Moscow Mule in the end. Anyways, now she drinks beer in Cambridge. And I open Helen's snap about Fred, not Frankie. She doesn't say Frankie's name anymore. I haven't said it in 3 months either. His name's my ex now. The snap's a picture of her smiling on the way to Fred's. She's always walking to Fred's. I imagine her doing that walk she does when she carries a big bag, because she's probably bringing one to Fred's. I can see her swinging from side to side. I can hear her breathing heavily like she used to walking up our school's stairs. Except now on the streets of New York. I don't even know what the streets smell like there. But I like to know she's smiling for that second. I like to see her smile about whoever it is. I miss when Nikki was going to have her own podcast and Helen could say Frankie's name. I miss this summer when we weren't texts apart and podcasts were only conversation topics. I've actually always wanted to have a podcast. It was a surprise that mixed with sea salt in my mouth. When Helen gasped and then, "Dude, I can so see you having a podcast." When the water felt cold and ticklish on my open palm. When I went, "What would you name it?" And their bodies looked so short in the sea. When they both looked like heavy babies through the water. When names of podcasts rolled off our tongues like swallowed water. When the colors of their bathing suits changed, and when they looked even brighter underwater. When my legs were waiting heavy and theirs were waiting slow, and when the sun made me tired and still because the world was outside of the water. When the world held everything else but the sea held us three like newborns. When later, on one towel under the umbrella, we played from one deck. When Helen loved shuffling and Nikki kept on winning. When I kept on checking if my sunglasses had gotten sand in the cracks. When out of the water we felt even heavier and set in place. When none of us had to move except to eat the pesto sandwiches we'd made that morning. When the sea salt and the soft mozzarella went so well together. When I asked Nikki, "Do you ever want to have kids?" while Helen listened to her podcast. When the sand on my lips gave words different textures. When it made them brittle and unimportant. When I went back to reading A Movable Feast, although I didn't really like it. when I was kind of reading it because I'd never read Hemingway and my dad likes him, when I realized Helen always wore pointed sunglasses, when Nikki looked funny and less like Nikki with her hair weighed down by water, when I left the rest of the sandwich for later because we weren't leaving anytime soon, when the pesto still sat on my tongue with some sand, when the sun burned the shoulder out of the umbrella shade, but I was glad the three of us only had one towel, when I turned around and lied on my stomach because I didn't want anyone to move, when I was scared to hear the words, "Is anyone else getting really hot? Yeah, should we start moving?" Anyways, we're not on the same towel anymore. There's sounds of fast heels again going towards something. I still see the towels and the pesto sandwiches and the deck, but there are smells of food that remind me of the world behind the Colenso property building. The world ahead of everyone walking and moving past the bus stop. The world of podcasts and new flings and so much walking. I lean against the Colenso property building and wonder whether I should start walking too.
That was Christina Rizzo reading her story in three parts, The Merchant Gate Bus Stop, The Streets Unmasked.